But I want to encourage you that God doesn't look on the outside of us. He's looking at our heart. He's looking at the heart of his children. And he sees it. He sees stuff, you know, in us that we're just as totally unimaginable. If he'd have told me 2 years ago I'd be up the front here doing this, I'd have said, no way. You know, God sees stuff in us and he uses us. Some things are really challenging and uncomfortable for us as Christians. This is really uncomfortable for me. In fact, I had a meltdown on Tuesday, Wednesday, about getting up the front here. But God says, you know, I'll equip you. You're just my vessel. I'll equip you. And I just want to encourage you that if you're fearful of going through the waters of baptism, if I can stand up here and do this, you guys, whoever you are, who this is for today, you can go through them waters of baptism, no problem, because God will be with you. Emmanuel, as we sung. It's just about being obedient and trusting in him, because he's got plans for you, plans for your life, and I believe baptism is part of that plan, part of the process. A very trusted, wise person called Alan told me this week that while I'm at my weakest, God is at his strongest. So for those of you, again, who are fearful, know that God is with you. We can make excuses for putting things off. I've done that. I will try to do that again, and God will tell me no. But, it's just really to keep yourself on the track with God. It'd be easier to not be a Christian. You know, I've found over the years being a Christian is pretty tough. I go one way and the rest of the world goes the other way, but I keep going with God. I just want to encourage you guys. The verse come to mind when I was writing that bit, out of Mark. For what good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? So I'm going to have to drink. And I've still got pages to go. Sorry. And I want to let you know that I'm not here to condemn or judge any of you. I hope you don't feel like I am, because I am not a condemning person by nature. I want to encourage you to uplift those of you who have a desire to go deeper with God, to come and be baptized, to be obedient to his unchanging words. So he called us to be obedient, as John 15:14 says. You are my friends if you do what I command. It reminded me of Abraham, well, Chris helped me with this bit actually, and Moses, who were called to be friends of God. But the obedience is not what makes the believers Jesus' friends, but it's what characterises them as Jesus' friends. So being a follower of God comes at a cost. You know, I could share more on that, but I won't go down that route. It builds and changes our character to be more Christ-like. So we are told to pick up our cross. So imagine you just, you know, you're picking up your cross, yeah? You're told to pick up your cross and follow him. And that comes at a sacrifice. And I personally believe that both the baptism... don't do that, because that's really off-putting. The baptism in water... and in the Holy Spirit, I believe, is fundamental to us as believers. I think it's really important. It's part of the journey. And the carnal things of the world, they can hold us back. It's really easy for them to be holding us back. And they give the enemy this huge doorway in to our lives. And that will hold us back in our relationship with God. It will stop us fulfilling our whole potential. And it will stump growth, and it can stop us hearing his voice. And someone was talking a few weeks about the importance of us dying to our old self, because we're called to be new creations, as it says in Corinthians. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come and the old has gone, the new is here. The process of dying to self is a biblical principle. If you're holding back in baptism because you're making some kind of excuse, or it is... more likely to be something within you than God, because God's telling, you know, he don't tell you that stuff. He tells you to go, do what he says to do. And Jesus was baptized, which I'll go into a bit more now. I believe God wants us to know that we are not rooted in him and that the tree will blow in too many different directions. So if our roots aren't fully and firmly in God, we will be swaying in the wind. That's not a good place to be in, because I've been there. It's only been the last year or two, really, that I've been where I'm at now. Before that, I was very easily swayed by things, and it is not a nice place to be in as a Christian. So we must be rooted and established in his love. We are called to make disciples of nations, to repent, to be baptized, comes up again, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So can you see how it's all linked? The whole journey. Thanks, Kurt. It's all linked. Salvation by grace, repentance, baptism in water, then being baptized in the Holy Spirit, discipleship, and goes on to the fruits. You know, you will see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But it all begins at the beginning and goes on the journey of sanctification too. So all different parts of this journey of the faith are all mixed up and interwoven in each other. But how deep you go with God is up to you. As I just said, I weren't here a couple of years ago, and God has really blessed me through getting my head in his word, in books, learning about him. And in the book of Acts, it states clearly to be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. The first thing I notice from that statement is that it indicates the words every one of you. You know, it's not talking about me, it's not talking about the ones on the front row, it's talking about all of you. The Apostle Peter is addressing the people who are saved, those confessing to know God. And I just wonder, really, I wrote this bit really late last night, and I just wonder, how can it be any different for us now? If that's how it was then, and we follow the same Bible, the same God, the words we were singing, God unchanging, how's it any different now? And I must add at this point that just because you've been through the baptisms of water doesn't mean to say you're saved. You know, salvation comes first, turning from your sins, because Jesus died for you. So that's different. Repentance and water baptism, they're all different steps. As Keith was saying a couple of weeks back, this is step three on the foundational stones. It's the thing that we're doing. So next is the fact of how do we support you? So you decide, you know, maybe I need to do this, maybe I need to go through this step. So what do we do at Bethel? How does it work for us as a church? So we do baptism classes. I think there's about three or four of them, isn't there? Two. And normally at these baptism classes, you get help with things like your testimony and stuff. So as I said at the beginning, you're not left on your own. It's a public declaration that you've chosen to follow Jesus. You invite your friends and family. There's a time of testimony most of the time, and then you're baptised. It's a really lovely event. On the other hand, it doesn't have to be a huge event. This is the part that God really put on my heart to share with you. Don't have to have a huge after party. So stripped back, right back. It's just simply an act of obedience. That's all it is. It's another step on your faith journey, you know, following the teachings of what Jesus has told you to do. On the other hand, if you want to share a long testimony, if I'm there, I'll probably cry at your testimony because I find them really moving. They're fantastic. You know, they're a massive witness and God will use it. What I'm trying to say to you, though, the real core of it, of what God said to me, that if you have a fear of public speaking and it's put you off being baptised, the elders can help you with it. I was woken up from my sleep to write this sermon. It was really annoying, actually, because I was having a nice sleep. And then I just wrote out, like, 3 pages of all of this stuff, and it's just like, boom. And God was revealing to me in an actual picture form about the New Testament church. And I could actually physically kind of see it in my head. When those 3,000 people back in the book of Acts repented and then went on to get baptized, you know, how warm and how beautiful, what a lovely occasion that would have been. A bit like a picture from like a kid's storybook. It would have just been really precious. And it's just struck me how different it's become over the years. I don't want to take away from the fact that baptism is a fantastic witness to family, friends and the unsaved, because I would get shot for not saying this up the front. Because it's a beautiful family event, it really is. And it's a public celebration of like an inward faith. And then I was thinking about Jesus, because like he's our role model, he's the one we're told to look to. And I was wondering what his opinion is on baptism. Well, obviously he got baptized, didn't he? So he was the Son of God, so he didn't need to get baptized, but he chose to be, and it was pleasing to God. And I was just thinking, well, if Jesus has done it, surely it must be the same for us. You know, if it pleased God that his Son went through the baptism waters when, you know, he didn't need to, did he? This is the Son of God. And wouldn't it be pleasing for God if his followers and his sons and daughters went through the baptism waters too? So Jesus stated, it is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Well, clearly I didn't quite get what that meant, so I had a little look up in my brand new Bible, which is really cool. It's got all this concordance stuff in it, so it tells you all this extra information. It's marvellous. And it says, John the Baptist recognises that his role and Jesus' roles seem to have been reversed. So the inferior immerses the superior. I was like, whoa. That's really powerful. John didn't see the need for Jesus to submit to a rite. So I had to look up what a rite meant as well. It means a ceremony or an act. So he didn't see the need for him to go through the waters, but as some sort of ceremonial act, symbolising the person's repentance from sin, coming back to that again. But Jesus recognised his baptism will fulfil all righteousness, and this was modelling God's will for his people. To be fair, it seems pretty clear to me. This direct word that I got from God, I just need you to listen up for a minute, because I know this is going to be for someone in the room today. I don't know which one of you it is, but I know it will be for someone, or God wouldn't have told me to say it. So God said to me that it's not about who attends, what you wear, what you say or you don't say up the front of church. It's about your heart towards me, towards Jesus. It's about being obedient to me. I was baptized, so why wouldn't you be? I'm your role model. Look to me. You have repented, and now baptism isn't really an option. I thought, oh, that's a bit strong, isn't it? I'm just going to read it out again, because it's also unusual to have it in the body of a sermon. So it's not about who attends, what you wear, what you say or you don't say up at the front of church. It's about your heart towards me, towards Jesus. It's about being obedient to me. I was baptized, so why wouldn't you be? I'm your role model. Look to me. You have repented, and now baptism isn't really an option. So I'm almost about to finish off, which you might be pleased about. I just, obviously now at this point in time, I've got to invite you to a baptism service, haven't I? Because it'd be pretty pointless standing here and then not. So we've actually booked one in for the first time in a very long time. I don't know how many years. How many years since we've had one at the Bethel? Well, quite a while then, yeah? Yeah. So on the 23rd of June, we're going to be holding a baptism service in the Bethel. So I just want to encourage you to not let fear, procrastination stand in your way of simply being obedient to the teachings of God. And I pray that you'll know in your heart that you'll be who you'll be accountable to on the day of judgment, because it won't be any of us, it'll be God. I just want to leave you with a Bible verse from Acts 22, verse 16. And now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. Thank you for listening. Pray. Yes, join.